summer, we have people coming in and visiting. And if you're visiting from another church, from another congregation, welcome to the New York City Church of Christ, Queens region. We're grateful to have you. I saw Tim Lindsay there. Tim, great to have you back here. You know, this is always home for you, Tim. We do love you. And there's a sister visiting from the South Florida church. Her name is Rashida West. There's Rashida over there. Great to have Rashida here. And if you could be turning in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. The 14th chapter of Matthew. We are continuing our series, Faith Matters. And today we're going to look at an event in the Apostle Peter's life when his lack of faith almost cost him his life. Our faith does matter. When we are faced with trials and challenges and obstacles, our faith does matter. It does make a difference. And let's dive right in to the scriptures here in Matthew chapter 14. In verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to pray by himself. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land. Buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When his disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You know, this undoubtedly was one of the most inspiring events in Peter's life. You realize that only two men in the whole course of humanity, only two men have ever walked on water. One was Jesus, and the other was Peter. That must have been an event that Peter never forgot. And it's an inspiring event for us as we look at this, we go, wow! This is awesome! How many of you wish you could walk on water? Just once. I wish I could just try it just once. Just to see what it feels like. Just to tell my kids, guess what your daddy did today? Walked on the water. But you know, this passage has the potential to be one of the most misleading passages about how faith really works. A person can get the wrong idea about what faith really is. And today, we want to help everyone leave here with the right idea about faith. The kind of faith that's really going to matter. And today what we're going to do is we're going to take a closer look at how this worked for Peter. How did it work? How was Peter able to get out of this boat and walk on the water? How was it possible? Well, we're going to unpack some of these details this morning and take a much closer look. You might even want to call it a high definition look, a HD look, 1080p. All right? What really happened? Okay, let's break it down. They thought this person, this thing coming toward them was a ghost, a boogeyman, a duppy, as they say in Jamaica. Everyone laughed at that one, man. A duppy. That's what they call it in Jamaica, right, bro? And Jesus said, no, I'm not a boogeyman, I'm not a duppy, I'm not a ghost. He clearly identified himself as Jesus. This is important. That this is, I am Jesus. So they clearly identified the man on the water was not a figment of their imagination, it was Jesus. Peter even recognizes him. He says, Lord, and he doesn't say it with a question mark. He says, okay, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out there. Peter, he's such an adventurous. He's like, man, if that's you, man, I want in. I want in. Tell me to come out there, Lord. And then verse 29 is the key verse. Come. What an invitation. What a word. Come. And so, Peter heard the voice of Jesus telling him to come. Jesus gave Peter that instruction. Come. And it must have been quite an event. Peter doing the unthinkable. In the middle of this storm, when the wind and the waves are tossing this boat back and forth, Peter puts his foot out of the boat. And to the disbelief of the other 11 guys on the boat, he starts to walk on the water. Unbelievable. Peter heard the word of Jesus and he obeyed it. But then as he begins to walk, what happened? It says he saw the wind. Now, I am still trying to figure out how that happened. How does a man see wind? How does he see wind? But Peter saw it. Maybe while he was on the water, his eyes get a heightened sense of sight. He sees the wind, and it says that he becomes afraid. He takes his eyes off Jesus, and what happens? He starts to sink. Anybody here afraid of water? Right? Can you imagine being in that situation? And in those days, they didn't have life jackets. He was up there with no life jacket. They didn't have a Coast Guard. Hey, call in the Coast Guard. There's a guy on there. Nothing. It just... him and Jesus. He starts to sink. He's feeling like he's gonna die. He's drowning. I mean, the water's probably getting into his nostrils, and he's sad and he's thinking, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches out his hand and he pulls him up out of the water. And what does Jesus do? He rebukes him. He didn't say, "Oh, Peter, great job. You took four steps. Awesome." He rebukes him. He said, "Dude, we could have been walking back to shore. But you just lack faith. What's wrong with you, man? What do you think is going to happen? It's me and you." Jesus did not rebuke Peter because of his technique. "Oh, Peter, you need to walk on the edges of your feet. That's the way." He didn't rebuke Peter because of his strategy. "Peter, you should go left, two steps left, and then one right. And that's how you can dodge those waves." It wasn't his technique or his strategy. It was his lack of faith. And because Peter didn't have the faith, he almost died. Now, what's really interesting is that after Jesus saved him, they both get back into the boat, and the wind dies down, and look at what happened in the boat. It's easy to miss, but it says that those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." What a worship service. It's late at night. The wind is moving this boat all over the place. There's rain. It's dark. They perceive Jesus as a ghost. And then, when they see what happened, and Jesus is in the boat, they bow their heads, and they worship Jesus, and they acknowledge, "You are the Son of God." It's significant because they didn't look at Peter going, "Peter! How does it feel to walk on the water, dude, you look so cool doing that. You are the man. I wish I had my camera. I could videotape it and put it on Facebook." This wasn't about Peter. This wasn't about the great feat that Peter just did. They all who were in the boat lay prostrate in that boat and worship Jesus. That's what the verb worship is, to bow down and kiss the feet. That's what it actually means. And that's who they worship, Jesus. Incredible event. Significant event. It could have ended badly, right? Could have ended badly, but it ended with the proper acknowledgement of who was in their presence, Jesus. And isn't that what Jesus really wants? Sometimes he'll put us all through to different situations. Sometimes even life-threatening situations, for us to acknowledge, to come to a point of awareness. You are Lord. Not me. You are Lord. And so the question is, how do we process this event? How do we in the 21st century process what we see here? I said earlier that this can be this event can be easily misinterpreted by many people. What's the right way to think about what happened to Peter and maybe how it applies to us? Well, let's just say this. You can't say that any feeling you have, any impulse you have, you must have the faith to pursue. You can't say that. And that's what some people think. Well, I have faith that this is going to happen, or that is going to happen, and I'm going to go after that. No. Well, just because you have an impulse, or a feeling, or an opinion, doesn't necessarily mean that you need to pursue that. We can be very passionate about things because we are passionate human beings. We have emotions, and we have feelings, and we have passion, but we've got to understand that our emotions are just emotions. Emotions are great friends, but they're terrible leaders. Human emotions can be misleading. You could come to church upset and mad, but you have to be here today. But then you leave feeling excited. Why? Because our emotions are just emotions. They're just feelings. Our emotions can be misleading because we don't know everything. You don't know everything. You don't know all what's going on. You think about your eye. The eye is an amazing instrument that God has blessed us with. It's amazing. The eye has the ability to instantly focus, near or far. Try doing that on your Samsung camera. The eye sees everything in HD if you don't wear glasses. The eye can make adjustments. When it's darker, you give your eye a couple seconds and it adjusts. It is an amazing instrument. The eye picks up a number of different colors that a camera can't even pick up. The eye is an amazing instrument. But in spite of how amazing the human eye is, do you realize that your eye cannot see itself? You ever thought of that? Your eye cannot see itself. Your eye, in order for your eye to be examined, you need somebody else to look at it. So as amazing as an instrument the eye is, it is fundamentally flawed because it cannot examine itself. But we perceive the world through our eyes. And yet, if our eyes are flawed, we would have no idea. Unless someone else tells us. I say all this to say that we must have the wisdom to keep our feelings and emotions in check. And that's something that we all gotta work on. Just because you have a feeling or emotion, just because you feel something strongly, doesn't necessarily mean that that's something you have to pursue. You know, the lottery is about $268 million. My wife pointed it out on the Van Wyck, $268 million. You can believe all you want. You can believe all you want that you're going to be the one to win. Just don't be disappointed when you start thinking and you realize that your number wasn't called. It's important to crystallize what really happened here. Peter heard the word of God and he obeyed it. That verse right there, in verse 28 and 29, is the key to understanding what happened. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water. Come." It's instructive to point out that that word was given only to the apostle Peter. John was in the boat. Jesus didn't tell John to come. There were others in the boat. James was in the boat. Jesus didn't tell James to come. It was a specific command to one person. Because somebody would read this and go, okay, if Jesus has the power, I'm going to go to Rockaway Beach. I'm going to walk on the water because I believe. That is false theology. It's false because Jesus did not tell you to go walk on Rockaway Beach, did he? He didn't tell you that. Jesus told Peter to come walk on this water. And the lesson for us is this. Whatever Jesus tells us to do, we got to have the courage to get out of whatever boat we're in and do it. There are certain things in the scriptures that Jesus told only to his disciples. This is an example of one of them. But there are other things in the scriptures that Jesus not only told his disciples, but it also applies to us. Some people don't take the time to distinguish between what was a specific command given to the apostles and what applies to us. And if you don't, if you're not aware of the differences, you can be seriously misled in your faith. And that's what we're trying to avoid here. We're trying to enlighten you so that you can develop the kind of faith that Jesus wants you to have in him and in his word. Amen? Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Alright. This, if you have an NIV, Matthew chapter 28 said in verse 16 and following, it headlines the Great Commission. And in verse 18 it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Clearly, Jesus gave this command to his 11 disciples. That's what it says. But he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And what was one of his commands? This one. Jesus gave his command to the disciples and told his disciples, you need to command other people to do what I just told you. And so the command says this, you have to go and make disciples. You have to go and tell people about me. Tell people about the truth. Tell people who I am. Tell people the promise that I want to give them for eternal life. You have to go tell them. Make them into disciples. And the people who you make into disciples, you teach them to obey this very command I'm giving you. And so this is one of these commands that he told his disciples, but that applies to everyone else who wants to be a follower of Jesus. This is not a command that we can just idly just dismiss and go, oh, well, whatever, that's something that he said, you know, whatever, it doesn't apply to me. Oh, no, this is one of the things that apply to anyone who wants to be a disciple of Jesus. This is the word Jesus speaks to every disciple and those who want to be disciples, to make other disciples. This word tells me that I have a responsibility to help others. It is a clear command. It's not a great suggestion. It is a great commission. It is a clear command. And if I hear this command, then I must be like Peter and get out of the boat and obey it. See how it works? And that is exactly what our campus summer initiative has been all about. Queens CSI. We wanted to go and spread the gospel of Jesus to college students over the summer. Our plan is to go to Queensburg Community College, St. John's, and Queens College in a rotation. And we're there on each campus 3 times a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And the women do a Bible study with women on Wednesdays. It's an initiative because campus students are not going to come to us. We must go to them. It's an initiative. It was so cool because we searched for volunteers. We asked anybody who wanted to come, anybody who had time, whether you're a campus student, single, married, whoever, come on out and help us. And we went not knowing what would happen or how we would be received. This past week, we were at St. John's University. We met some amazing people. We invited a woman who to our Bible talk, and it was so cool. She just purchased a brand new Bible. And as Daniel was telling us the scripture that we were supposed to look at, she cracked open. She removed the plastic from her Bible. It was so cool. We also met a man, a doctor from Bangladesh, who's studying to be accredited as a doctor here in the United States. And he came to the Bible talk and participated, and I called him yesterday and tried to get him to come to church. He wasn't able to come, but he wished our family well. It's great. It's great being there. I was telling the men on Wednesday, to be honest with you, I feel like a real idiot. I'm 53 years old. I'll be 53 next month. And here I am, 52, going on 53, and I'm at St. John's University. I do not feel like a campus student at all. But the reason why I am there is because of Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. That's the only reason why I'm there. It doesn't have anything to do with my gray hair. What matters is the command. We did CSI, Queensburg Community College, the first week, second week. Last week, we did St. John's. Tomorrow, we start at Queens College. We're going to be at Queens College on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And anybody who would like to come and participate in that exciting adventure that the Spirit has put us on, you are welcome to come and join us. I want to say that CSI would not have happened unless people had faith to get out of the boat. You see, you got to get out of the boat to do what Jesus commands you to do. I think about Nina and Soraya. Those two campus students are fired up, excited to be on the campus trying to help others. They've been a breath of fresh air. Reggie and Kim Coleman. Reggie and Kim have two children. Two kids. Reggie's been on that campus, and so has Kim. They're excited. They're able to figure things out with their family. And okay, hey, let me figure this out. They're there. Desmond Archer was there this past week. So inspiring seeing Desmond. He just said, you know, I remember being a campus student myself. And I want to help a campus student. Desmond was there inviting people to come to Bible Talk. Fiona McKay came. So inspiring, man. Fiona had to walk about 3 miles to get to the Bible Talk, but she made it. Fiona said, hey, man, I too was converted as a campus student. I want to make a difference in someone's life. You see, it doesn't matter what age you are or what you're doing with your life necessarily. What matters is your faith. Our faith has the ability to change life for someone else. My wife has been inspiring. My wife is like the Energizer Bunny on campus. She gets on campus and she's inviting everybody in the line when we're trying to buy donuts. She's talking to people. I'm like, honey, come on, let's get back to the Bible Talk. Oh, no, let me just give this person a number. She's awesome. She calls me in line. We're all in different life stages, different ages. But if we just had faith to hear what Jesus told us to do or is telling us to do, and if we just did it, amazing things could happen in our lives. Question we have to ask ourselves is, what boat do you need to get out of this morning? What's the boat you're in? What is the boat you're in that God is saying, get out of that boat now and come on over here and be with me? Some of us are in the boat of fear. You're afraid of changing. Maybe you're studying the Bible and you're realizing that Jesus is calling you to a commitment that is blowing your socks off. What? I gotta come to church? What? I gotta help other people get to know Jesus? What? I gotta deny myself? What? I gotta repent of sin? Are you kidding me? No, we're not kidding you! All these things are possible for you if you just believe. There's an incredible account where Jesus, in John chapter 8, you don't have to turn it, but I would encourage you to write it down and read it. Jesus was confronted with this woman who was caught in adultery. Many of you may be familiar with it. And, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted to make this a big scene. Jesus, let's kill this woman. She sinned. And Jesus didn't do that. He had mercy on her. It was an amazing account of Jesus' love and compassion. But a lot of people hear that part of the story, which is, man, Jesus forgave her. You hear that part of the story, but there's another part that you can easily miss. And in John chapter 8, verse 11, can you put that up there? John 8, verse 11. What did Jesus actually tell this woman? He says, I'm not going to condemn you, but go and leave your life of sin. He said, I'm going to have mercy on you, but I'm going to command you to leave your life of sin. Stop with this adultery stuff. Stop it. And we don't know if the woman actually obeyed, but in order for her to obey what Jesus said, she's going to have to get out of the boat that she was accustomed to, which was living a life of sin. Anyone, if you put your eyes on Jesus and you're focused on Jesus, no matter what sin you're involved in, you don't have to remain living in that sin indefinitely. You can get up out of that boat and just leave that boat behind and go right into the loving arms of Jesus. It will blow your mind how quickly you can change. how quickly you can change if you just focused on Jesus and obeyed His word and made some decisions to get out of the boat that you're in. You with me here? And there are a lot of people who can attest that what I'm saying is the truth. Some of us are in the U-boat. You got to get out of that boat. What's the U-boat? The U-boat is not the German underwater boats that terrorize the Allies. It's not that. That's not what I'm talking about. The U-boat is the focus on you. The focus on self. We're in love with our ideas and our life. And just you're in love with me. That you are the most important person in the universe. It's all about you. You know what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:2? You can put that one up there. You can write it down. 2 Timothy 3:2. He said in the last days, there'll be terrible times. He said people will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. Some of us are in that boat right now, the U-boat, the self-boat. It's all about my level of comfort. It's all about what I can handle. It's all about me. And so if you're asked to do something by Jesus that's anything different from what you feel comfortable with, from what you feel like you can handle, I'm staying right here in this boat and nobody moving me. That's a boat that some of us are in. And I'm talking about some of you disciples. That's the boat that you're in now. It's all about me. No, it's being a disciple is not about you. When was it ever about you? when did this ever become about you? And what you liked? And what was important to you? When did that happen? Where in the Bible does it say you're supposed to be comfortable to have to walk a Christian life? Where does it say that? It's not about you. And I think we need to remind ourselves that it's not about me. I have to remind myself about that every single day. You know what? This is not about me. It's not about what I want or what makes me feel good. This is about Jesus. And like I said, sometimes Jesus is going to take us to places that are incredibly uncomfortable and maybe even life-threatening. Will you go if Jesus said come? You see, that's, brothers, sisters, and friends, is the faith that matters. That's the kind of faith that matters. And we've got to ask ourselves, what type of faith do we really have? Do we have the faith if we hear the word of God, if we hear the voice of Jesus out there on the water telling us to come, do we have the faith that we're going to get out of whatever boat we're in and say, Lord, if it's you, if that's what you want from me, you just tell me right now. I will come. I pray that your faith and my faith can get to that place. Amen.